The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. If you've seen something strange, a cryptid like Bigfoot, a UFO, a ghost, anything paranormal, and you want to share your story, you can email us strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com. Well, Allison, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I have nothing to report that would qualify. I did see a black dog today.
You did, but there was nothing paranormal about him.
No, he was just a real Scotty dog that got loose.
All pre-orders of Apparitions, my art book, shipped out last week. People have been getting them. I've been seeing people posting pictures and saying really nice things. So thank you, everybody, for that. Anything ordered from us or Riverbend Comics, which is John, is signed by me. So you can get them from us. You can get them from Riverbend. We're happy wherever you want to get them. Thanks, everybody, for all the kind words you've been saying. Just gotten really, really nice feedback on that book from people. So that's very encouraging.
I think you're going to keep drawing, is what you're saying?
I think I'll keep drawing.
Okay, good idea.
So on tonight's show, we are going to be talking with Lucy, who has several tales of sleep paralysis and shadow figures and this thing that she calls the oatmeal man, which sounds absolutely horrifying.
That does sound way more horrifying than a shadow figure.
Yeah. It was smells associated with it, too. And
ooh.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get more oatmeal men, aren't we?
Well, that's usually what happens. Oatmeal man will be another one of our nighttime invader kind of characters.
So. He seems more like a breakfast invader.
Right. Yeah. Before we get to Lucy, I do want to thank our patrons. Thank you so much, patrons. Earlier this month, we put out our 60th patron episode. We're going to do another episode for Halloween for patrons. If you sign up at patreon.com/strangefamiliars, you can sign up at a monthly rate. You can sign up at a yearly rate. There's all different kinds of options for different levels there to get things like t-shirts, stickers, copies of my books, and more. Or you can just go in at the level where you get the extra content. We cannot do Strange Familiars without our patrons, and that's the best way to help us. Again, it's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. If you don't like the idea of a subscription like Patreon, there's a paypal.me link in the show notes under every episode. You can click that. That'll take you to PayPal, where you can make a one-time donation. Everyone can help by sharing the show on social media, by liking and subscribing wherever you're listening, whatever podcatcher you're using, and by leaving us those nice 5-star reviews, which does help get the show in front of new potential listeners. So now let's get to Lucy's story. Tonight we're talking with Lucy, who has several experiences surrounding sleep paralysis?
surrounding sleep paralysis and just weird, like, synchronicities, like, weird psychic stuff. Lots of, I've just had, like, a really weird life, I think, in general.
Let's start at the beginning, I suppose.
So let's see where the beginning even is. My grandfather was a Baptist pastor, like, very, very conservative, very, like, holy roller, like, what you think of with, like, a Baptist pastor. And he founded his own church. And so part of my life, I grew up in that church. Like, we lived there with my parents and my brother at the time, and then my grandparents lived at the church, and we all worked at the church. And so, like, my whole life was kind of surrounded around that church. And so I think part of kind of the weird stuff when I was really young was kind of around that. So I had, like, sleep paralysis episodes at the church when we lived there. And also the building was really old. It was an older building that they had purchased that had been, I'm trying to think what it was first. It was, at one point, it was a, like, swim club, kind of like a YMCA. And then at one point it was a chemical factory. I don't know what the order was on that, but wow. It had been in the town for a really long time. And that was in Amarillo, and downtown Amarillo, kind of like in the center of where the city was in, like, the 30s when it was a bigger city. Yeah, so just a weird kind of setting even for, like, a kid growing up, right?
Sure, yeah.
And so the earliest sleep paralysis, weird experience stuff I remember was when I was maybe, like, 6 or 7, when we lived in the church with my grandparents. I would, like, get out of bed and go sneak to, like, be in my grandparents' house or grandparents' room, because I would want to, like, they would have the TV on and be watching, like, country western movies all night long, and I would want to be in there. It made my mom so mad, but I would get up and kind of sneak around, like, the empty church, because it was upstairs where we lived, and the church was downstairs. But it was, like, weird, like, creaky hardwood floors, and, like, there was this one room that was next to my bedroom that I shared with my brother, and I would, like, wake up in the middle of the night and, like, want to go sneak to my grandparents' room. And the easiest way to do that, to, like, get through the house without waking up my parents, was to go through this other room that was, like, connected to my room. And that room, like, still to this day, I just have, like, bad vibes, like, the worst vibes. like, I don't know what it was about that room, but I would have nightmares about it all the time. Like, I still have nightmares about it. There's, like, this big closet in the room that was just creepy. And so I remember one night I woke up and I had, like, sleep paralysis for, like, one of the first times. And I was, like, my bed was facing the door that connected us to that room. And I woke up and I saw the door to that room, like, kind of open, and, like, a weird, like, kind of gangly, like, shadow figure, like, just staring at me. And then I was up, like, all night, like, wow, just looking at it. And then I don't remember, like, after that, if I, like, went back to sleep or woke up or, you know, whatever. It just felt like, you know, forever. And then
this was when you were six years old.
Yeah. So it started out, like, super duper young, like, even, you know, like, my earliest memory. Like, I have awful memory. I have ADHD. And so, like, my memory is kind of all over the place. So most of the things that I remember are, like, these weird, scary things that happened to me when I was a kid, like, my whole life, like, up until, like, maybe even high school. Like, it's just, like, scary, weird stuff. And then, like, I kind of remember, like, middle school, high school.
So as a you know, 6 year old, as a, you know, a little kid, mm-hmm. obviously, well, I'm guessing you hadn't heard of sleep paralysis at that time.
Yeah, no.
Because these experiences, they seem very, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they're not real, you know, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They seem very much like, at least when I had sleep paralysis, it seemed like real world things were happening. You know, it was not a dream, in other words, let's say.
So, yeah, that's definitely something that, like, in my head now, I call it sleep paralysis, but then it wasn't. Mm-hmm. yeah, that wasn't where I was going. Sorry to interrupt you, but
no. So as a little kid, is that something that was? I guess to me, it would seem to be incredibly traumatic.
So with that, like I and like being, you know, super religious. We were Southern Baptist, and you know, I had my grandfather was a pastor, my uncle was also a pastor, and then my dad worked for the church, doing like video production stuff, just, you know, whatever. And we were at the church all the time, and everyone around me was super duper into, you know, that kind of thing, just like Christianity. And so I don't think I told my parents right away, but I remember my dad like said, my dad was like, I don't even know how to explain this, but like my dad said that he, like, when he was younger, he saw angels and that he believed in demons. And so that was kind of where my mind went with it, was that like there was a demon in like this one room in the church that was like there. And we talked all the time at church, like the sound system would mess up and they'd be like, oh, like that's Satan, you know, just trying to ruin our day, or like that kind of thing. But like to a kid, I was like, this is super duper real, and like everything bad that happens, like Satan's out to get us or a demon's out to get us. And so I kind of twisted that into like, there's a demon in my room.
Totally see that. Like if that's the way you're being brought up, like that's what you know.
Yeah,
I can totally see that.
Yeah. And so it happened a couple of times where like I wouldn't always see like a figure or whatever. I would see like kind of just like shadow in that room, or like a moving shadow or whatever. And sometimes I would see like mice and rats that weren't there, which is funny because now I have mice and rats as pets, which is, you know, overcoming that trauma. But the, like, it was, you know, kind of inconsistent, but like it happened enough times that I told my parents something was happening. And they were like, okay, well, let's pray and God will protect you. And they moved my bed at one point, so it like wasn't facing that door anymore. But it kept happening for a while where I would like feel weird about the door, but I didn't see anything. And, you know, just weird stuff. And I remember at one point I had a dream that Glinda the Good Witch from Wizard of Oz visited me in my dream, and she was God. Like that was like the like best way for God to present himself, and he was like, it's not gonna happen anymore. And then it stopped for a minute, and then it started happening when we moved away from the church, and I had other stuff that kept happening like outside of that house. Yeah,
that is extremely fascinating. I think the Wizard of Oz was such a powerful thing to so many children. I don't know how old you are, but when I was little, it was always a big deal. Whenever The Wizard of Oz was coming on TV, it was always like, oh, you know, can I stay up and watch it, Mom? You know, and it was a very, very big deal.
Yeah, it was definitely a big deal. I had like a Wizard of Oz themed like birthday party at one point, but like all of my like parents and like older relatives would like tell me like, oh, you look like a little Judy Garland, you know, because I had like blue eyes and like kind of brown curly hair.
Right.
So yeah, I was super like,
yeah,
in my unconscious.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Like what a powerful image for a child, I guess, to grab onto. I used to have regular dreams about the Wicked Witch from The Wizard of Oz when I was a little kid. Just grabbed onto that imagery. I guess that was so powerful to children. You know, maybe it still is, or maybe now it's Harry Potter or something else, but
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that was really, really powerful stuff. No, curiously though, after this visitation from Glinda, in that room though, it didn't happen anymore.
Yeah, and it was really close to when we lived in the church, and then we moved out to, we moved into a house. Like my parents, just us, like our grandparents still live there. And then, so it didn't happen for like a little bit. And then we moved and I was like, okay, you know, now I'm safe because I'm not even, you know, at the church anymore. And so I started kind of like, I didn't think about it. And I definitely like some years passed, because the next time I remember something like significant happening, like sleep paralysis wise, was when I was like 12 or 13. So there was, you know, a significant portion of time where it just like, you know, didn't happen.
So when it comes back to the new place, what's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I had to be, we moved a couple of times when I was little. So I had to be like 11 or 12 when I remember it happening again. I was taking piano lessons, and I know it was around when I was taking piano lessons because I started to have like the worst time. I couldn't sleep at night, and like this insomnia started when I was like about 10 or 11. So I would listen to the CD that my piano teacher made me. So I would play that like all night, just like Mozart or whatever song I was learning, and then like some other classical piano stuff. And I would listen to that until I fell asleep. And so about the time that like I started listening to the piano CD, I started having the sleep paralysis again. And I would hear, so I have also related to my insomnia, I have exploding head syndrome, which I feel like someone has probably talked about that on the show before.
Someone did at some point. Yeah. Kind of explain as best you can.
Yeah, it's been on and off as I was, and also something I know that they mentioned this because I was listening to your show at Target. I like have to like piece my memories together from like I was here and then I was there. But someone was talking about the Alice in Wonderland syndrome thing too.
Yes.
So I have just, my primary care physician has just labeled it like parasomnia. Because I just get into like big hallucinatory episodes when I'm trying to go to sleep.
Okay.
And like something about like just my brain does not shut off properly. So I'll like hear loud sounds, or I will feel like my bed is shaking. Then later, not at this point in my life when I was like 12, 13, but like in college, I started to do like the Alice in Wonderland syndrome, where I'd feel like I was growing and shrinking, or the things in front of me were getting closer and then further away when I'm trying to go to sleep. So yeah, just like hardest time going to sleep because I'm like hearing things, seeing things, feeling things, just pretty much anything you could imagine. Like I've had an episode like that, you know. But when I was about 12 or 13, the biggest one was I would feel like my bed is shaking, and then I would of course have the sleep paralysis. But so going to bed, feel the bed is shaking, right? And I was really into like ghost shows around this time. And so I like watched the show where this guy was like, I stayed in this haunted hotel room and there was a haunted bed and the ghost was shaking my bed all night.
Right.
And so I kind of latched onto that and I was like, oh my God, like there's a ghost shaking my bed every night, because, you know, I was just, I felt like my bed was shaking. And then of course I was like hearing things like a telephone ringing or someone shouting something. I wouldn't quite understand it, but you know, just random loud sounds. And sometimes it sounded like it was from outside of, like it was a real sound, but generally I could like tell it was not real just because of the way it felt to hear it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So in order to like counteract that, to like calm down, I would listen to the CD my piano teacher made me with the Mozart and everything. But then that kind of backfired because I started having sleep paralysis episodes again, where I would wake up and there would be, this is around the time where I have a little bit more detail, I think, in what I saw. So I call him the oatmeal man, which is like the best I can describe. It looked like a giant mummy that was just like dripping in like gross oatmeal. And like he was like oatmeal colored, and like there was almost like a smell, like it was giant like skeleton with oatmeal, or mummy with like oatmeal. And he had like his hands kind of out like a zombie, and like just like weird like dry crusty oatmeal and like wet oatmeal kind of texture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was really like vivid texturally and like had like a weird kind of like kind of an oatmeal smell, like just like a sickly kind of sweet, weird smell. And so he would stand in like my doorway, and it happened a couple of times. And like the third time, I noticed that he was humming along to the piano CD.
Oh, that's creepy.
So yeah, so I could hear him, but it was like the sound was coming from like his throat, like it was like a really guttural, like like kind of humming along to like Mozart. And like even now, like there's Mozart songs that I can't listen to because they like creep me out.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the first one that was like really like
vivid
and terrifying.
Oatmeal man more than once?
Yeah, it was like almost like every night, every other night for a while.
Oh wow. That's so creepy.
Yeah. And you know, I was lucky, I was homeschooled, and so my mom let me sleep in because she knew that I wasn't sleeping very well. So like even now, like I'm almost better off like sleeping like during the day because of like all of this stuff going on. But yeah, so the oatmeal man, like pretty much the entire time I was in that house, and like from like the age from like maybe late about 10 through when I was like 12 or 13, I would see that pretty frequently. There were periods like on and periods off. Yeah.
So I've been told, you know, I don't know how many stories, like hundreds of stories of of these, you know, bedroom invaders, nighttime visitors, whatever we want to call these different entities.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard this one before, this oatmeal man. However, I will not be surprised if somebody listening hasn't seen the same thing.
Honestly, I was thinking the same thing because the flannel man.
Yeah, we had it with flannel man. We had it with that we just started calling it the nightmare creature, the thing that people said looks like the Green Goblin from Spider-Man or something with like long greasy hair. And, you know, I would not be surprised if somebody doesn't say I've seen that too. If you're listening and you have, you know, please drop an email to us because it would be very, very interesting to catalog yet another one of these things, whatever they are, these bedroom invaders.
Yeah, no, I'd totally be interested to hear that because I have a couple of different like sleep paralysis like characters, you know, quotation marks, that I've, you know, seen and kind of like stored away and like named them just to, you know, because people always ask like if I mention, you know, my hundreds of not hundreds but like mental illness, like souffle, whatever I have. like, it's always, like, I'm super fun at parties. But anyway. but, yeah, so I think Oatmeal Man is pretty much the only one that happened at that house.
Now, did he ever approach you or touch you or do anything more than stand there and hum?
Not that I can remember. I had like a weird feeling, like there was one time where like the bed shaking happened while I was in sleep paralysis, which happens sometimes, but not as much. And I remember him maybe like leaning forward and the bed started shaking, but usually it was just like in the doorway and humming along.
Now,
with
were you
the
like just absolutely
piano.
Terrified of this entity?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of a different feeling than like the other, the first sleep paralysis where I was like just terrified. It was like when you see like a spoiled like food in the back of the fridge kind of feeling. It was like, oh, that's gross. And like, I'm going to have to clean that up. It was kind of like dread, like, oh, this sucks. Like, I'm going to have to wake up in the morning and be tired. And,
okay.
You know, kind of like, it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so scared. It was like, oh, this is like happening again. Like, I hate this. But like, just kind of like a subtle dread kind of feeling. I don't know if I explained that well, but yeah.
You talked in your email about like hypnagogic hallucinations. Is that specifically what you're talking about? These sort of beings that you're seeing?
Yeah, the hypnagogic stuff I would usually classify as like the exploding head syndrome.
Gotcha.
And like the bed shaking. You know, a lot of times I would see like spots when I'm trying to go to sleep, or like green swirling just stuff in front of me, and stuff that I thought everybody, you know, saw and experienced, but they don't. Lots of I swear I'm gonna sound like I'm lying like this whole time, because I've had like the stupidest life. But yeah, I also have synesthesia, so I see sounds. Mm-hmm. And so like sometimes there would be like, when I'm going to sleep especially, like I would be like kind of watching the music I'm listening to in a way, and then like hearing like cricket sounds outside would be like little green streaks, and I'd see them better when it's dark, because usually during the day it's kind of like in the back of my head, and then my vision gets blurry if it's too loud. And so that's something that, like, you know, my whole life, it took a while for my parents to like realize I wasn't lying about it. And like, I've seen doctors and stuff, like, it's for sure a thing. But it just, with everything else, like my grandfather being a pastor, and then the next house I will tell you about, which is also just weird. So, you know, I've just had stupid life.
I mean, it's not, you know, as much as I talk to people, it doesn't surprise me at all that people have, you know, multiple things going on. This all mm-hmm. seems, you know, I mean, like, you know, complete layman here. You know, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but this, to me, this all seems kind of woven together. You know what I mean? To me, it seems like it's not surprising that you would have the sleep paralysis and, you know, the exploding head syndrome and Alice in Wonderland and synesthesia. They all seem like very connected.
Yeah, in a way. They do fit together in ways that, like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But it does kind of seem like kind of a weird dice roll. Like, I got all of the things, like, could we not have spread it a little bit thinner? But yeah, so after, I'll go ahead and tell you, like, the next house.
Sure.
So my parents, they were on a minister's salary, right? So it was either we moved back into the church with my grandparents, or my grandfather owned like this plot of land that he wasn't doing anything with at the time. He wanted to build a house out there when he retired, but he just kind of owned the land. And so my dad was like, well, why don't we build a yurt out on the land? So we moved into a yurt. Do you know what a yurt is?
I do. And I'm actually
I'm
kind of jealous. I kind of like yurts.
I feel like now I would appreciate it, but when you're a 13-year-old girl who's already like homeschooled and doesn't get to see her friends very much, like,
gotcha. Yeah.
Not the best time, right? Yeah. Yeah. So we moved into a yurt out on this land. So this was in Amarillo, Texas, mm-hmm. which is like notably very, very windy. And it's just the flat plains. So my dad got in contact with like the yurt company that built the yurts, and he was like, I want to put a yurt out here, is that even possible? And they were like, I don't know, nobody's ever done it. So we were probably the only yurt like this entire side of Texas. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, like Austin, San Antonio, maybe there's yurts there. Mm-hmm. But like West Texas, not a big yurt town, yurt spot. Yeah, so we moved into this land, and immediately, like, I think, I don't know, it was just felt like a weird, like, I don't even know how to explain it, like, almost like just supernatural, like, kind of, what is it called? The, like, Skinwalker Ranch. Mm-hmm. Like, the where we lived, it had, like, big Skinwalker Ranch vibes to me, honestly. And I don't even know if I mentioned this in the email, because I feel like there's just too much. But so there's, you know, weird sounds at night. We had no neighbors. That was, you know, whatever. There was like coyotes, just kind of just a creepy place to live when you're, you know, 13 years old and already like think you're seeing demons, right?
Right.
So it was me and my dad and my mom. and I had one brother at the time, and we all lived in a yurt by separating up until a loft, and then we had a bathroom under the loft and my parents' bed, like, to the side of the loft, and then we had, like, one big, like, living room area, and then our kitchen was an Airstream trailer. My parents are, like, so hipster and, like, like, millennials that it's not even funny. But, yeah, so tight quarters, and I was sharing the loft with my younger brother, and we just had, because it was, you know, a loft, you couldn't stand up all the way in most of it, because, you know, a yurt goes, like, down, like, a little triangle, and so we just had mattresses, like, on the floor, on the two sides of the loft, and then we had, like, the bubble at the top of the yurt, right, and so I would lay, like, under, like, on my mattress under the bubble and just, like, fall asleep, like, looking up at the sky, and I got it into my head that I was, like, I'm gonna see a UFO, right? I don't think I ever did. But I did still have, like, the sleep paralysis at that time. But it was interesting because it wasn't, like, a room. And so instead of, like, seeing stuff in front of me, I would, like, just get, like, the premonition that downstairs there was someone standing outside of the yurt or, like, in the living area. Mm-hmm. And I would just kind of, like, you know, chill with that premonition and, like, oh, I wonder if my parents see anything, you know, I wonder whatever. And so that was just kind of like a weird feeling. And we only lived there for a year because my mom got pregnant with my younger brother. They tried to do the yurt baby thing for a while. They were like, hashtag yurt baby and stuff, like, on social media, and they were like, we're gonna use reusable diapers, like, we're gonna, like, they were, like, all in, like, pioneer woman style. And then, like, 6 months in, we found a scorpion in my brother's bed, and so my parents were like, yeah, never mind. We're gonna move into a house. So yeah, that's just, like, my weird party story. And there was, like, a little bit of sleep paralysis going on there. And then, like, I thought I was going to see a UFO and totally didn't. But, yeah, and then I have, like, dreams later on about the yurt. So that's one reason I mention it as well. So we moved out of the yurt and then moved into just, like, a regular, like, kind of a like a new neighborhood where they were putting up a bunch of homes that looked exactly alike, that kind of vibe, because my parents wanted to be able to, like, sell it and move somewhere else when my brother was a little bit older. So it was, like, you know, house with, like, easy resale value, basically. So I was like, I don't know what I thought about everything at this time. Like, I tried to think, like, did I still think I was seeing, like, demons? Did I still... Like, I think everything was just so weird that I was kind of just rolling with it and didn't give much thought to it. I'm not very good at, like, noticing things just in general. Like, I'm kind of in my own bubble a little bit sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think I was kind of just like, well, like, everybody has weird dreams and my dreams are just, like, more weird than others. Or, like, maybe it is demons and, like, I'll get my dad to pray for it. Yeah, so when I was about, like, 14 was when we moved into the newer house. And for a while, like, my sleep paralysis and everything, it just kind of stopped. I don't have any idea, like, what changed beyond just, like, I got a little bit older. But I did still have the, like, bed shaking thing at night. And then, like, the exploding head syndrome a little bit here and there. But it wasn't ever, I didn't ever have the sleep paralysis. And that's the weird thing, too, is, like, all of, like, the shadow person I saw, that was only at the church. And then, like, the oatmeal man was only at the one house. Yeah. And, like, so that was interesting. I feel like, I don't know, I'm a microbiology major, so I'm obviously, I'm, like, into science. And, like, I don't want to be like, oh, that each house just happened to be haunted, you know. I feel like, I think I compartmentalized everything with the different houses, and maybe even, like, just and memories have compartmentalized things at the different houses.
My thought immediately goes to the sleep paralysis is the consistent thing. The expression of it changed with each location. So was that shadow thing the same thing as the oatmeal man, but you were just laying over different, you know, skinning it differently, in other words.
Yeah.
Each time. I don't know. You know what I mean? But to me, like I said, the sleep paralysis is the consistent thing. So that's it's interesting, though, that it does change, you know, slightly, at least what you're seeing.
Yeah, it was just different in every house. And I feel like I was kind of like at maybe different stages of my life, and I found different things scary. And I was always like, I've always been into like, I didn't watch horror movies because I wasn't allowed to watch anything. But I watched like ghost adventures sometimes at like friends' houses and I read a lot of books. Like my parents didn't check the books that I read most of the time. I didn't read Harry Potter, but you know, no one I knew did. But books, for the most part, I could read whatever. And so I feel like maybe like books that I read that were kind of scary maybe had some influence on whatever I saw, or like just found different things scary. Who knows?
I feel like we had a segue into our Perfect Puppy commercial with your Scotty dog that you saw today, and then you used it at the beginning of the episode. Did you know puppies can be wild and crazy whirlwinds of destruction?
I believe so, yeah.
I actually saw somebody, I think it was in the Strange Familiars group, who saw another person somewhere online posted about how their puppy was like biting and mouthing and stuff, and she actually put a link to 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy there. I was like, that's so awesome. So word is getting out about 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy.
All over the country, well-behaved perfect puppies are popping up.
You can find 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. With their relationship-based approach, 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy can help you and your puppy become perfect for each other. They can address things like leash training, crate training, hyperactivity issues, if your puppy is chewing on things they shouldn't be chewing on, if they're mouthing or biting. They can address fear and nervousness issues, potty training, and much more. When you join 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy, you get access to several online sources like video lessons, a secret Facebook group where you get to interact with other puppy owners as well as the 90 Days staff. And they also have one-on-one options, of course, as well. Again, 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy, find them at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So the new house, I think this one is the scariest one as far as like the sleep paralysis goes. Like oatmeal man smelled like oatmeal, bad vibes, but I had a full like storyline, like three act structure, like struggle with the next sleep paralysis entity. So we were at like the newer house, right? And I had my own room for the first time in like forever. And I had a light in my room that I could turn. It was like an LED light that I could change the color of. Mm-hmm. And so I would put it on like dark blue when I went to sleep. And I would like listen to music. I had like a iPod that I would listen to music, and I started listening to audiobooks. And I would listen to this one audiobook every night. I memorized the first chapter accidentally.
Wow.
Like, so that's how, and I can still like recite it. Like, that is how like many times I listened to this one audiobook. But after a while, the like shaking the bed came back. And then I started having sleep paralysis again. And so I remember the first time I had sleep paralysis in this one house, I was listening to my audiobook. I had my blue, dark blue light on, and the light turns green. And I don't know if it really did. I think it was blue the next morning. Like, I think it was, I woke up and it was still blue. Mm-hmm. But for some reason in my brain, like, I saw it turn green. I thought it turned green. And I could have been dreaming, you know, who knows. But, and then I was listening to the audiobook, and I just had like this vague, like, I wasn't really paying attention to what the audiobook was saying. But I could hear it, like, it was like slowing down and like speeding up in kind of a weird, distorted way. And I was kind of just like half asleep, like out of it. Like, did my light change? Did I turn it on green? Like, did I do, you know, whatever. And then green was like a really, really big thing for this one for some reason. So I was like falling asleep, and like my audiobook was like speeding up, slowing down, like distorting, but I wasn't like scared or anything. I was just kind of like falling asleep, right? And so I fall asleep, and I start to have this dream where I am like in this old schoolhouse, and I'm just like, it's like this wooden schoolhouse, like, you know, old plains, whatever. Maybe around like the Dust Bowl kind of era. And I'm like the only one there except for this other girl. And she never told me her name, but I like knew instinctually that her name was Kate. And I felt like super protective of her, like I felt about like my brothers. I felt about Kate. And so we like wordlessly, we were like going to walk home. And so we like leave the schoolhouse. And we start walking down this like long, like dusty path to our house. And Kate, I like get the feeling that Kate is really like weak and sick. So I start like asking her, like, do you want to stop? Do you want to sit down? Like, do you want to rest? And she keeps saying, you know, no, like we have to keep going. And then we just like keep walking until I wake up. And so wake up. Light's blue, everything's normal, you know, it's whatever. And I'm just like, that was a weird dream, huh? Like, I, you know, did not even feel any type of way about it. But then it kept happening. Like, once a week, I would have this same exact dream. And, like, never, we would never get home. We'd just be, like, walking. And, like, it started to feel, like, more and more, like I was really there. Like I almost feel like I would wake up and like be sore from all of the walking. Like, oh, wow. Is how real it felt. Yeah, like just, you know, super weird. So I told my friend about it, and she was like, oh, maybe you read a book, you know, that had that or something. Like I was kind of just like, okay, this is a weird dream that I was having. But then I started having the sleep paralysis again, and I would have it after the dream, and Kate would be in my room. And so I would like wake up, and like we never made it. Like I would wake up from the walk and be like disoriented. I'd be like, did we rest? Like, did we take a break while we were walking? Like, kind of still in like that, the dream. And Kate would be like at the foot of my bed in like this like greenish blue dress, kind of like a, I had American Girl dolls. So like, the Kit Kittredge like dress that's made out of like flour, like a flour sack. Mm-hmm. Like that was kind of the look. And like this green dress, and she had like green eyes that I could see really well, even though she was, you know, all the way at the foot of my bed. And like this long blonde hair. almost like a doll kind of looking, like she had like just that really like old scary girl vibe like look to her. And I would like wake up and like still feel like this, like, hey, what are you doing up? Like, Kate, you need to go to bed. Like, she was like my sister. Like, I needed to like, hey, it's late, you need to go rest up. You know, like, I wasn't like still thinking like my, you know, my Lucy thoughts. I was like Kate's sister still.
Right.
And so, yeah, just the weirdest feeling. Like, even now I'm like, well, I feel like so, and of course I'm like at a house by myself
here. Sorry.
No, it's okay. But yeah, so Kate would be at the foot of my bed, and then I don't know what would happen after that. Like, I would just wake up the next morning, and yeah, it was just like super weird feeling like the next morning, like, what happened? Like, is Kate okay? Like, I was always like worried about her.
Huh.
Which was the weird thing. I was always like, I need to make sure that she's okay. And I was never like scared for myself, of course, until like the next morning when I'm like, what was that, you know? And I would be kind of like creeped out a little bit, but in like the moment I was always like, I hope Kate's okay.
Was she about the same age as you were at the time?
She was maybe a little bit younger. So my oldest brother is 5 years younger than me, so I would say she was probably about that age range. Okay. Apart. I felt the same way about her as my brother. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I have to protect them, you know. But yeah, it was just super weird. And so that dream where we were walking home, it kept happening. Just like, it like started up like even more, where I would have it like 2 times a week or 3 times a week even. And it got to the point where 1 week I had it like every single night. And I started to feel like, we need, like, why aren't we getting home? Like, I need to get Kate home, was like the feeling in the dream. I remember the week that it was like every single day, the first dream started at the schoolhouse, and like the dream after, we were still walking. So it was like it continued. Mm-hmm. And we just like never got home. And so like the last night of like that week, or you know, the month, maybe even like however long it was that I kept having this dream, I woke up and Kate wasn't there. I wasn't having sleep paralysis. I didn't see her. But then I fell back asleep and like went back into the dream, and Kate and I were like resting by this pond. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I left for a minute. I'm glad you're still here. Yeah. Like, I'm glad you're still okay. Like, this, like, I was like deep in the dream. It's the weirdest thing. I was like, okay, like, we're resting by the pond, like, maybe we're almost home. And I fall into the water, and I don't really know like how. I just remember, like, I was kind of like, okay, like, let's go. And then I fell into the water, and then I woke up, and I was having sleep paralysis, except I was like feeling like there was water on me.
Oh, wow.
And Kate was like staring down at me, like watching me die.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Was like the feeling. And that was the last time like I ever had the dream. Like, I like fully 3-act structure, died at the end, and then Kate left me alone.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. And so like just and like when I tell people about that, and they're like, you should write a book, or like, you should, and I'm like, I don't know, there's not that much to it besides like I was, you know, walking every night, and then, you know, Kate watched me die. But super, you know, to have like chills thinking, yeah, about it. Don't like it.
It's like you finished the story. I mean, you know, in a, yeah, way, like, you kept going until you finished the story.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was just like the weirdest thing. And I still like, I think I have like bad dreams sometimes where I like think about Kate, like Kate's in the dream, but not, I've never seen her in like sleep paralysis again or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like residual like trauma from like that part of my life, I think.
Just to get completely, you know, woo here, do you think that could have been, you know, possibly like a view into a past life even?
I don't know. I mean, I definitely feel like there's, you know, lots of things we don't understand. And like, there's, people have, you know, energy, and I don't know about past lives or anything, but I feel like there could have been like a story there that like maybe I, you know, heard something and like, you know, sussed out the rest of the the story and in my brain, or like, you know, could be a number of things. I don't know. I have a hard time like explaining just how real the dream felt, even, and just like the whole, like how it started one way and like finished another way. Like it just feels so like almost like someone was trying to tell me something, kind of feeling like, you know, in like a scary movie where you like have a dream where the ghost is like showing you how they died and you have to like fix it or whatever. Like it was almost like that kind of feeling.
That's really, really strange. And so you never saw her again as far as in sleep paralysis?
No. And not even like anything like her. Like all of the other, like she was like a person. Like she was creepy, but she was like a person. And I could see like detailed, you know, like she seemed like a person. And like all of the other sleep paralysis things that I've seen, they seem like a monster.
Right.
You know, they're like, there's some kind of like connection there that's like a bit skewed, you know?
If, you know, she were to walk down the street tomorrow and you saw her, would you recognize her?
I think so. Definitely. Like, I think like her eyes were like a thing that I don't, you know, I don't see very often, like green eyes where you like notice, you know, like my eyes are like kind of blue green and that like hazel, you know, but she had like green eyes. Yeah. So I would definitely recognize that. But yeah, if I saw her again or anything, I would know for sure.
So when does this imaginary friend come into the story?
Okay. So yeah, that's actually one of my favorite stories. Yeah. So the imaginary friend, less like a scary, like feeling of like sleep paralysis monster kind of ghost thing. Like I don't even know how to explain it, but I guess a little bit of background of like how I started with the imaginary friend. So like I said before, I have ADHD, and I'm really forgetful. And so something that like helped me remember, you know, just things that I needed to do or like what I was doing or what was going on, I started like talking to myself, or like until I could go write it down, I would say like, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know, or like repeating it. But I found that like, since I was so good at like memorizing like strings of words, I did a better job of remembering things if I like told myself a story about it, or like told, you know, somebody else, like if I was in the room with somebody else, I'd be like, hey, I'm doing this and I need to go do this before the end of the day, right? And so that was how I remembered. And so that slowly evolved into me like having like an imaginary person that I told like what I was doing and what was going on, and had it like ended up being like this dialogue like throughout the day. And this is super nerdy and like kind of dumb, but I ended up like basing the imaginary friend off of like an anime boy. So there's this anime called Ghost Hunt, and in the anime and the like comic books, the main character has a twin brother who died, and like the ghost is like in everybody's head, like helping them solve the mysteries. And so I ended up just like, you know, I had the ghost in my head that was helping me remember things. So yeah, just super nerdy in high school. So I started going to a public high school. So I've been homeschooled, you know, my whole life. And then like the last year of middle school and then first year of high school, I ended up going to just like regular public high school. And so kind of that dialogue in my head was like, during the hallways and like all of the passing periods, I like kept that dialogue up in my head, where I was like, okay, I just got this homework. Like, I need to remember this homework. Can you remind me later to do the homework? You know, then even when I was bored, I would start like kind of daydreaming, like talking to, you know, his name is Eugene. Super, super, like, it just gets stupider. But yeah, Eugene. So it's like, hey, Gene, like, remind me to do this, or like, can you help me with this? Can whatever. And at this point in my life in high school, I had started listening to, you know, podcasts and like true crime and stuff. And so I got really into The Last Podcast on the Left, which is actually how I heard about your show. So full circle. But they had like a series on like chaos magic, and tulpas. I had already been doing like the imaginary friend thing before this happened, but or before I started listening to that podcast. But after like I listened to the podcast, I kind of had like this framework idea, like, oh, maybe because I'm, you know, talking to this imaginary friend, I've like created something bigger than myself, or like I've, you know, created an actual entity that helps me remember to do my homework, right?
Right.
And it was kind of just like a funny idea, a funny story that I was like, I had a couple friends that were also, you know, into all the nerdy stuff and like ghosts and nerdy podcasts and whatever. And so we kind of like talked about it and joked about like, oh, like I'm gonna chaos magic like to do this, or like chaos magic to do that, and like as a joke. And at the same time, I was kind of using that as like a jumping off point to like stop believing in Christianity. so like I grown up really religious, but never really got into it the way that like the rest of my family was, which isn't saying not a lot, because my parents were way more into it than like most people. And like my whole family really, really into it, almost like culty into it. And I was just kind of like normal, like a normal person. And so I was like thinking like, oh, maybe, you know, when you pray to God, like you're, you know, manifesting, you know, like really basic, that kind of thing. And so, you know, but I kept doing the imaginary friend thing because it was fun. I was bored. I would talk to myself in my head. Of course, I wasn't like walking around school talking to myself. That would be even worse. Yeah. So I just kept it going. And then, you know, kind of had this idea of like chaos magic and like tulpas and like energy, you know, all that stuff in my head, but it wasn't like forefront of my mind until I had one day, I like had just a bad day in class, in my classes, and I was getting a migraine. So I was like sitting in class, and like this migraine was just like all I could think about. And like we were supposed to be like working on an essay. It was like a silent period. And so I was just sitting in class, like thinking about this migraine and like feeling just awful. So I was sitting in class, like thinking about how awful I felt because of this migraine. And I started like kind of drifting like into a daydream, where I was like, hey, like, Eugene, could you bring me a, like, bottle of water? Like, like, I don't know why that was, like, my thought. I was kind of like, if I had a friend that I could talk to right now, I'd be like, hey, could you bring me a bottle of water so I could take some aspirin and get rid of this migraine? So I just kept, like, thinking about it and, you know, not really working on my essay. I couldn't focus. And I was like, I just need to go get a bottle of water so I can get rid of this migraine and like go get a bottle of water. And it was just like this cyclical thought. And I was also like hyping myself up to go ask the teacher if I could go to get a bottle of water, because it was like this mean English teacher that I didn't really get along with. The reason I didn't get along with him was because he insisted on, he was white and insisted on saying the N-word when we read To Kill a Mockingbird. So that was kind of, I was like, do not like this guy. He's intimidating. He's like, I've already said like, hey, could you not do that? And he was like, this is my class, you know? So I was like trying to like, there's so much of my brain was like trying, like thinking about going to get a bottle of water, thinking about going to ask to get a bottle of water. You know, it was just like really like a lot of brain power. And so I finally was like, hey, can I like go to the restroom and go to the vending machine and get a bottle of water? And he was like, sure, whatever. So I go, and I'm walking down the hall, and like in the middle of the like hallway, so like between my classroom and the bathroom, there was a vending machine. And like as I walk past the vending machine, a bottle of water comes down the vending machine and is just like sitting there. And I was like, I like texted all of my friends. I was like, there's just like a bottle of water is here. And I was like, gonna go buy a bottle of water. And I've been thinking about it. And I like was thinking about Eugene bringing it to me. Like, I think I created an entity that is trying to help me. Like, this sucks. Like, this is rough. And so, yeah, I like told all of my friends and they were like, there's no way. And I like took, I probably have the picture still, but I like took a picture. I was like, I just walked by this and like a bottle of water came out while I was thinking about it. So yeah, I'm a psychic. That became like even a running joke that I was like secretly psychic. And I honestly like a lot of like synchronicity things. Like in when I first went to college, I like got really into like tarot reading. And so I read my tarot one day and I was like, the chariot was upside down and I was like, that's crazy. And then I got into a car accident the next day. And so I told all my friends, of course, you know, like confirmation bias. I was like, yeah. So I predicted my car accident, even though I didn't, you know, like before, but yeah. And stuff like that, where like there was a time recently where I touched the doorknob to go outside and got like a jolt feeling, and I was like, what if my car doesn't start and I have to take my partner's car to class? And then I go downstairs and my car doesn't start and I have to take my partner's car to class. Oh, wow. And, yeah, and so like I try to pay attention to stuff like that, even though I'm like, don't really believe in, you know, like I feel like I'm good at like thin slicing, so like noticing tiny details kind of in the back of my mind. And then, you know, forming conclusions, maybe. But, yeah, definitely more than people I know, for sure.
So, this Eugene, did this continue from there?
It did for a little bit. It was something that I kind of, like, grew out of, I think. But there was, like, a long time where I was, like, really into the show. And I, like, I wrote fan fiction about it and, like, had a bunch of friends that, you know, were... that's another thing is, this is, you know, we've touched a little bit on like the religion and everything. And so, once I was graduated from high school, I went to a Baptist seminary because that's where my parents wanted me to go. Even though I already didn't really believe in God anymore. And I also realized that I was gay. And that didn't go over well, as you can probably imagine. So, there's, you know, a lot of trauma around that, of course. And I feel like that kind of maybe trumped up some of like sleep paralysis stuff here and there. And like there were times in high school, I didn't even mention, but there were times in high school where like I wasn't sleeping at all because I would just like hear screaming with the exploding head syndrome. Like all night long.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so that was just like, A lot of the sleep paralysis stuff, not like interestingly, but just really traumatically kind of happened during that time. Anyway, so I went to a Baptist seminary, super unhappy. It was a terrible place. The president, like recently, or not like recently, but like about a year ago, he was fired because like related to like Me Too stuff. So yeah, it was, and I was there like, and did not trust him and did not like him. Just a bad, bad place all around. Don't go to seminary. Like if anybody's listening and like thinking they can just go to seminary and then their parents will like them. It's not worth it. Like seriously. Worst ever. So I went to seminary.
My last question or one of my last questions I was going to hit you with was going to be like, so how does this, you know, how does a nice Southern Baptist girl end up reading tarot and all this stuff? But you've kind of explained this as we've gone through here. So
yeah, no. And even like while I was at seminary, I was reading tarot cards and like even like did readings like on Tumblr for like Venmo tips and stuff. And like, I was just, you know, completely double life. And I would go to class and just listen to men tell me how bad abortion is, and then, you know, go back to my dorm and read tarot. I had a single dorm, so I was really lucky in that way. And I just, like, watched horror movies and read tarot cards and, like, plotted to get out. But the way that I, like, eventually ended up leaving seminary was because I moved in with a friend that I met because of the anime that Eugene is from. So I kind of, like, you know, not a huge coincidence, because I was so involved in that world, and that, like, fandom, quotation marks. But some of my friends have, like, expressed, like, hey, maybe, like, Eugene, like, saved you from having to go to seminary by, like, introducing you to this friend.
Wow. I mean, yeah. In a roundabout way, you know?
Yeah, like, magical thinking-wise, for
right.
sure.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's pretty much, I mean, since, like, going to seminary, I've had, you know, a better luck with, like, you know, I'm living with my partner and, you know, don't have as much drama going on of, like, being in disagreement with my parents. So I feel like there's not as much, like, the sleep paralysis wise. I still have, like, the Alice in Wonderland stuff and exploding head syndrome, but I mostly just, like, I listen to podcasts when I go to sleep, and then, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. So the reason I started a podcast is I was having a really rough time at a certain part of my life, and I was just not sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking for anything, you know, in the middle of the night. You know, I didn't have a TV in the room. And I was like, well, I just need something to take my mind off this. You know, I was just obsessing about, you know, whatever was going on in my life at the time. And I found podcasts. And boy, they helped me get to sleep again and, you know, gave me my sleep back in a way. And at that time, I said, well, I'm going to, you know, I think that was the seed of it in my head. Like, I'm going to start a podcast, because they really, really actually helped me a lot. And I still listen to podcasts to this day to go to sleep. So
yeah,
I absolutely understand that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely helpful. My parents used to get so mad at me for listening to audiobooks when I went to sleep. It was like, you're ruining your sleep. And, like, I don't know, I still listen to them, so maybe, but
yeah,
it's helped. So, you know, well, whatever.
It's either listen or not sleep. So, you know, there's the,
yeah,
for me,
exactly.
That's the case anyway. Has the sleep paralysis kind of abated a bit as you've gotten older?
Yeah, I mean, I still have episodes here and there, and I feel like they're kind of related to, like, if I have a really bad week, I'll, like, have, you know, less quality sleep, and then maybe I'll have an episode or whatever, but they're usually, you know, I don't see, like, crazy things as much like I used to. Like, sometimes I'll see, like, a shadowy kind of figure, or I'll, like, hear something weird, but it's not near as intense as it used to be, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I kind of love the way it all ties together, honestly. I think and when you said you get migraines too, I kind of, like, yeah, that kind of ticks another box as far as with the, like, synesthesia and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
I, you know, again, I don't know how it's all related, but I do feel like it's all tied together. I'm really excited to get this Oatmeal Man out there and see if anybody else has seen him, because it sounds super creepy, and I'd be interested to hear if anybody else has seen him as well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you put on some Mozart, then he'll come visit you. I mean, who knows?
Yeah,
maybe that was it.
That's part of the equation, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, Lucy, thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Yeah, thank you.
Here we are, photo of the week. What was your quote?
I think they're curtain witches, which I don't know if they're bedtime invaders or not. But
curtain witches.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
hilarious.
Going to share a story at the time when I dressed up with an equally probably insensitive costume.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I really liked biographies, so I had read this biography for school on Indira Gandhi. I really loved her, and so I dressed up in something that is probably looks very similar to this.
Did you have a curtain sari?
I did. It was very insensitive, but it was
a different time, and you were a kid.
I was a kid, and I really wanted to do right by Indira Gandhi.
Right, yeah, it was sort of a tribute, not
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be as amazingly culturally insensitive as it appears now. But these girls are wearing what looks like either they wanted to be witches and their mom was like, well, you'll have to use the leftover fabric from
the curtains.
From our kitchen curtains. Where I'm not quite sure what's happening there. There's also a couple...
I want to say that Alice in Wonderland and Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, it could be. But it's a girl dressed in very boyish sort of Sherlock Holmes costume, and then these two girls in a floral witch's costumes.
Yes. Well, they have the pointed hats. Maybe they're curtain clowns.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about the fact that they could be clowns and not witches, but it's definitely a Halloween scene.
Yes, they're definitely in costume. An appropriate picture for Halloween, a real photo postcard.
And the cool thing is, if you want, well, which is what I would probably do, spend an entire day researching these girls for any reference of them and where they're from. They do have, their names are unique enough where you probably could figure out where Victoria Kotowski, Margaret Fisher, Florence Norton, and Helen Garman were from.
Especially if they all appear together at in some school register or something. So yeah, it's identified, real photo postcard, early 1900s?
Yeah, I'd say maybe 20s-ish. To me, that's still technically early 1900s.
Perfect little costumed group here, and we're asking $35 for it. You can find it in our Etsy store. There'll be a picture of this in the show notes. You can click on that. It'll take you to our Etsy store. You can search for Strange Familiars. You should find our Etsy store that way. Or you can go shop name Lost Grave, one word. That'll take you to it as well. Also in our Etsy store, copies of my books, artwork, Strange Familiars t-shirts, and more. I think at this time we still have all sizes of Strange Familiars t-shirts, small through 3XL. So they're in there. I've been doing a series of what I call handprint drawings that you've probably noticed I've been using them for episode artwork here and there. They usually sell the originals within an hour or two of when I put them up on Etsy. So keep your eye there. Keep your eye in the Strange Familiars gathering group on Facebook. I usually announce when I put them up. If you want to get those, every single one of those has sold out.
How about do a witch? Do some witches.
I can do some witches. There's always time for witches.
You could move into feet drawings instead of hand. I mean, you are the Bigfoot guy.
I have considered doing a Bigfoot in a foot.
Yeah.
But this is a series I'm doing. I'm planning doing a certain amount of the hands, and then I'm going to collect them in a separate collection from my other things. So if you're not getting the originals, you will have an opportunity to get nicely printed versions of these eventually.
And we'll see as you move on. To various other body parts.
I don't know that I'm going to do. I like doing the hands. There's a process with them.
So yeah.
I can trace my own hand.
And you are not capable of tracing your own feet.
And who wants that?
The thing is, there's a niche market of people who really might want that. But I don't know what the Venn diagram, the crossover is with Strange Familiars.
What I was going to do is I was going to take a cast of a Bigfoot foot because they are anatomically different than human footprint.
Yeah, and don't you have a plaster cast?
I do. And use that as sort of the basis and then fill it in with like a Bigfoot illustration. But, you know, we'll see down the road.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, Etsy, shop name, Lost Grave, search Strange Familiars, you can find that stuff. Thanks to everybody who's been supporting my artwork lately, either through buying Apparitions, the art book, or by buying originals. Thanks so much. It's very, very nice. Very, very nice and encouraging, for sure. Before we go, I want to mention Karmic Garden again. They're on Etsy as well. Shop name is Karmic Garden, one word. They actually have a Strange Familiars bespoke scent.
Not very often do you get to use that word in relation to you, because it's never followed by suit or shoes or something fancy, but scents.
Curated. Yeah. This is the Strange Familiars curated
scent. You actually,
scent.
As part of being part of the Etsy community, if you do not say the word curate,
they kick you off
the site. They kick you off of Etsy.
You have to at least a couple times a year say the word curate.
Yeah, just so you know you're on Etsy.
Yes. The Strange Familiar scent is a mixture of frankincense, myrrh, and vetiver. And it's quite nice.
It is quite nice.
They said that it's actually been doing kind of well for them. So congratulations to Karmic Garden. And
it can smell like a forest sprite.
Is that what it smells like to you, a forest sprite?
To me, I think it smells more like a monk who ran away to live in a log.
Frankincense and myrrh and vetiver.
Yeah.
Karmic Garden. Trusted remedies made from Mother Nature. Soaps, scented sanitizers, natural cleaners, candles, beard balm, and more. They sent us some Strange Familiars scented sanitizer, which I've been using as well. So it's,
that appeals to me on many levels.
This is scent layering.
It is scent layering.
And there's a whole story why I know that. We don't have time to get into why I know that term. And
during your tenure at a very fancy soap shop?
Yes, I did. I did work at a... It's unbelievable that I would
have... That you worked at Crabtree and Evelyn?
I worked at Crabtree and Evelyn for one holiday season, yes.
You would have been promoted, but I don't think you fit the...
The bunny is just having a field day in the other room.
We'll just knock all that out of there.
Yeah. So everybody check out Karmic Garden, etsy.com/shop/karmicgarden. We'll be back soon with another episode of Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more, darkhollerarts.com. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. You can find more at stonebreath.bandcamp.com. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can join the Strange Familiars gathering group. And we're on Instagram, @strangefamiliars.
And the bunny's clink, theme clank. Song is Kick Out the Jams clink, by MC5. Clink, clink, clink. Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.